Blog Talk Radio.
To health, wealth, and real estate. I am very excited. My name is Jawanza, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Yvette.
Hello.
I mean, this has been an awesome series that we've been doing. We've been doing a series on affordable housing, the real estate process, how to own a home, how to get prepared to own a home, affordable housing, just the different aspects, information about grants. I mean, this has been a very, very exciting series, and it's a very exciting time in real estate, and I am just excited tonight to have another opportunity to bring to our listeners more information that they'll be able to use. You know, the thing about the information that we share, it's usable.
Absolutely.
And so to be able to talk tonight again about another program, another organization that is devoted to helping people get into homes, it's just a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And that, you know, we use the phrase knowledge is power, and it absolutely is, because when you are informed and you have this information, then you'll be able to take advantage of it. There's a lot of programs that's available to some home buyers, and that's the most important thing, because you need that down payment.
Mm-hmm.
You need that closing cost sometimes just to get you in the door, and so there are various organizations out here that's our mission, that's our vision, to help some home buyers purchase their first home. My name, again, is Yvette, and I'm an associate real estate broker with Long & Foster. And so we are excited about our guest that we have mm-hmm. tonight. Our special guest
is Nikki Diadamo Domery, and she's with Maggie Walker Community Land Trust. And so, everybody, I just want you to get ready. Okay, get yourself some coffee, sit back, get your pad and paper, because pad and paper, I'm in pad and pencil.
You can get your pad and paper and pencil.
Okay.
That's fine.
So we're going to get started here, because we've got a lot to cover, and so thank you so much. So you want to tell us a little bit about our guest?
Well, Nikki is a community coordinator with Maggie Walker Community Land Trust. And Nikki, thank you so much for agreeing to be our special guest tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started working with Maggie Walker, and you know, just a little bit about your background?
Yes. Well, actually, it's kind of an interesting story about how I got involved with the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust. I grew up here in the Richmond area, and then I moved away for a long time, and I came back. I had young kids, and my husband and I decided to move closer to family, so we came back to Richmond. I've always wanted to be back here, and we started looking for homes. And we had owned a really modest home in Christiansburg where we were living before, and we didn't have, you know, it wasn't a neighborhood that was appreciating very quickly, but it was a really great place to live. We moved back here, and my husband was teaching, and I had taken some time off because I just had my third child, and we went looking for houses, and I couldn't believe how expensive Richmond was and how hard it was to find a home after having owned our home in Christiansburg. And I remember saying to a good friend that, oh, I wish Richmond had a community land trust so there were some affordable homes in the places we were looking. And then shortly thereafter, I saw a job posting for the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust, and so I thought it was a really perfect fit. I've done, well, I hadn't done a lot of housing work. I had done a lot of community development work in different places around the country, and then some and in other countries too. So I was excited to have an opportunity to work here in Richmond with MWCLT.
Well, I mean, that's wonderful because I actually, as I mentioned to you before the show aired, I actually just found out more information about Maggie Walker Community Land Trust maybe a couple of years ago. And so when I had an opportunity to work with a client that actually purchased and went through the process, and we decided that we wanted to start doing some radio broadcasts and bringing some and making others aware about these programs, I absolutely thought about Maggie Walker, because even when you talk about affordable housing, the thing that I really love about Maggie Walker is that you do the renovations, you help build the community by actually making not only allowing it to be affordable but decent. Housing, you know, housing that is, like you said, that's actually affordable, appreciating, and that's definitely something that Maggie Walker is doing. So, Nikki, I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about what is the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust?
Sure. So the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust works in the city of Richmond, Chesterfield, and Henrico. And the goal is to preserve permanently affordable housing and permanently affordable homeownership opportunities, which I think is really important. It's based on we utilize the community land trust model, which originally came out of the civil rights movement in the late 60s and early 70s. In rural Georgia, actually, the first community land trust was a direct response to black sharecroppers getting kicked off their land when they went to register to vote. And so some activists raised a lot of money and bought land, collectively bought land, so that those farmers would have a chance to earn an income and own their own homes on that land. Now community land trusts are all over the country, and they are primarily actually in urban areas. And again, they're designed to both stabilize neighborhoods that may be shifting towards more rentals and provide some starter homes and permanently affordable homes in those neighborhoods, but also in neighborhoods where the appreciation is exceeding people's ability to afford homeownership. And so that's what the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust is.
Well, if I may ask, Nikki, who is or was Maggie Walker? Whenever I hear of organizations that are named after a particular person, I assume that person may have been the founder, or it may have been their vision. And oftentimes when you have situations where you have companies or organizations, particularly organizations that are nonprofit, then, you know, the owner or founder of that organization is probably a very special person. So could you give us a history of who was Maggie Walker?
Maggie Lena Walker was the first woman of color to establish a bank in the United States, and she was a Richmonder. She lived in the late 1800s and early 1900s. So she didn't found the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust. I think the founders of this organization aspired to live up to her legacy of building wealth in the black community and with and for the black community. I think when I think of Maggie Walker, I think about somebody who wasn't just trying to build wealth for herself, but was trying to build wealth for and with her community. And so that's, I think, what MWCLT aspires to. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she definitely was an inspiration and is an inspiration for entrepreneurs and women, men of color, anyone of color. I mean, anyone that aspires to, you know, like you said, wealth, entrepreneurship. And so I think that name is definitely, you know, something that's significant for various communities. I wanted to, so you mentioned that when you also said permanently affordable housing. So I think that when you say permanently affordable housing, can you talk a little bit more about the mission and vision as far as permanent affordable housing and how does that the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust help continue to keep housing affordable?
Mm-hmm. So the official mission of the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust is to develop and steward permanently affordable housing opportunities to foster racially equitable communities with the vision that the Richmond area will be inclusive, affordable, and healthy places to live. And so the Community Land Trust model, the way it works is that homes that are part of the Community Land Trust, they have what we call permanent subsidy that goes into the home. So there might be a home that would sell on the open market for, say, $250,000. And that might not be affordable to most of the families that we work with. And so we will put permanent subsidy into the home, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, depending on what the price point is that we're trying to get to. And that amount of money stays in the house. So if you had a home that was $250,000 and we've brought the price down to, say, $175,000, that's the price that a home buyer might be paying for that house. And the price varies. I'm just giving an example. The way the Community Land Trust works is that the home buyer will purchase the house only. The land stays in the trust. And so the homeowner leases the land for about $100 a year, and they use the land the same way anyone else would use the land. So I would say if you're driving down the street, you're not going to be able to tell the difference between a Community Land Trust home and a conventionally owned home. So you can put up your fence, and you can put up your playset and landscape and put in your flowers and your garden and all of that stuff. The ground lease is there to really make sure that the home stays affordable. So the homeowner is required to stay as that should be their residence, so they're not allowed to rent it out. So it's a way to preserve a home ownership in the neighborhood. And when they go to sell, they agree to sell it at a rate that is a price that is affordable to another family that's in a very similar economic situation to that original family when they bought the home. And so, and we can talk about how that works in a few minutes if you want to get into the details. So,
okay, yes. So, I mean, that's great information. So, you say that this model is definitely only for first-time home buyers, someone that is that already owns a home and wants to purchase another home. Is this model just for a first-time home buyer?
Most of our home buyers are first-time home buyers, and there's a slight you do get some priority in our waiting pool if you are a first-time home buyer. But we do have homeowners that are downsizing, maybe, or we do have a few families who are couples who are retired, and they need a home that is more affordable on their fixed income. So there are some people who this is not their first home, but the vast majority of people who come into our program are first-time home buyers.
Okay. And what would you say are some of the pros and cons for someone that wants to consider a Maggie Walker home?
The pros are that it is affordable. So these are going to be some of the most affordable homes you know, that you can find in the metro area. And I think it was really important what you said earlier. You know, affordable doesn't just mean, like, you can afford the mortgage. It also means the home is in a state that you can take care of. So our homes don't require you to move in and rehab the house, or they're all either new builds or rehabs. We've made sure that the systems that are in place are systems that will endure. And so it's really something that should be truly affordable to someone who can afford to purchase the home. So the pros are that, you know, these homes are affordable. They are an opportunity to build wealth through your mortgage payment and the increase in the value of the home, which is currently the way the resale formula works is that it's based on the increase in wages as opposed to the real estate market. And we can go through that in detail. It is a chance to own your own home, to, you know, create your own space and control what you're paying for your mortgage versus being subjected to rent. And for many people, it is kind of that first step from renting into home ownership. It is a way to get in, to build some equity as a first-time home buyer. Some of the cons, you know, if you can afford what we call a fee simple home and own every piece of the property, that of course is going to be potentially more financially advantageous. The homes do come with, there is a ground lease, and one of the requirements of the ground lease is that it is your full-time residency. So, you know, if you're looking for an investment, a long-term investment property, like say it's, you're going to purchase a home and it's just your starter home and you're hoping to keep that home and, you know, upgrade to another home and use that other one as a rental, this is probably not the program for you because these homes are intended to be an opportunity for, you know, homeowners to own their own home and live in that home and build wealth. And there are, you know, one of the other kind of components of the ground lease is that major renovations have to be approved by the board of directors. And so, you know, the homes aren't really designed to be, you know, expanded into a small home is not designed to be necessarily expanded into a much larger home. And so that's possible. It is possible to do that, but it's a little more complicated than if you owned, you know, a fee simple conventional home.
And when you say fee simple, you mean just where you and the property, the house.
Yeah, that's right. Where you just went out and you saw a home listed and you just bought the house, you know, right out with and the land was included. So, and I will add one other piece to the pros piece. One of the advantages of the community land trust, especially for first time home buyers, is that, you know, the community land trust is there as an added support for first-time home buyers. So, like, during COVID, for instance, we've been in communication with the lenders and communication with our homeowners to make sure that everybody is doing okay and they're able to pay their mortgage and so that we can be another source of support if something were to go astray. And within the ground lease, Maggie Walker Community Land Trust has the right of first refusal. And so if for some reason a homeowner were to, you know, lose their job or have a situation where they just were not able to stay in their home, instead of going into foreclosure, you know, one option is that we would come in and purchase the home at the resale formula in order to avoid foreclosure, which, of course, is something no one wants to go through if they can avoid. So, so I'll just add that as another little pro to the CLT.
That is a pro.
That is great. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
In terms of qualifying for the program, there may be families out there that have adult children or working age children living with them. when qualifying for the program, does the is it the whole household income that is that determines whether a person qualifies financially for that, or does or the or is it just the person that's going on the loan?
Yeah, right now with our current program, it does require that we evaluate the whole family's, the whole household income. And, you know, that can be, that's intended to be the family that is moving into the house. So, of course, if you are an adult parent, if you are a parent of adult children and your kids come back to live in your home, after the fact, that, of course, is totally fine. We don't. Once you own your home, and this is true if you get a raise or if you, you know, you get married or any source of additional income after you close is we are not concerned about that. We do are responsible for looking at your household income at the time of closing. And so generally speaking, we do look at the whole household income. So.
What about a home-based business? Can a person or family, you know, can they run a business out of a Maggie Walker home? I mean, I know there are probably going to be certain, you know, certain restrictions. That's natural. But would that be one of them that you could or could not run a family or a home-based business out of the home?
If it's your residence, if it is your residence and you, say you are I don't know. You're a welder, and you an independent. That's your job, and you you can definitely do that from your home. You still need to be. You can't, you know, turn your house into a storefront, but you can certainly run a personal business out of your home, like you would any other home. But it wouldn't be able to be like a storefront, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and especially with people actually working from home now, it's not necessarily that business, but they are doing, I mean, they're actually working in the home now. But again, as I mentioned, I know it's different. So, Nikki, thank you so much. You're doing a great job just explaining, you know, the pros and the cons, because I think sometimes when you share with people, you don't own the land, you know, people sometimes feel like, what? I don't own the land? What does that mean? You know, so I think it's very important that people, and I know that, you know, anyone that's entering into the program, you do take them through a orientation or so that they can understand the entire process. But exactly how do they qualify? Who would be considered a good candidate for a Maggie Walker home? How do they qualify for it?
That's a great question. And yes, we do have orientations. I want to touch on that bit for 1 second. We do have orientations. The next one is April 14th, and we have them about twice a month, and they're all online. So you can go to our website and register for those. And we go through the program in detail. It's a great time to answer questions. We also, you know, after somebody, and you know this, but after somebody goes under contract for a house, they also have the opportunity to sit down with an attorney, a pro bono attorney, so they're not working for MWCLT, and the homeowner isn't having to pay for them. So hopefully it's a neutral third party to go through that ground lease in detail and make sure that the home buyer understands exactly what they're signing and can answer any, and the attorney can answer any questions they have. In terms of who's a good candidate, for our regular homeownership program, you do need to be able to qualify for a conventional loan, and there are 3 lenders who lend for the program. Because the ownership model is a little different, you know, every lender won't lend for it. And sometimes that can be seen as a disadvantage for the program. I will say that the lenders are very good, and the loan products are also good. They all require a credit score. Before COVID, the minimum credit score was about a 620. technically it's still a 620 for two of the lenders, although I think they're having a hard time getting people through right now with less than like a 660. And then we do have one lender that has a town bank has a credit score requirement of 640. So you do need, that kind of credit score. It depends on the size of the house as opposed to, like, how much money you need to make to be able to qualify for the loan and the price of the house. Generally speaking, we have income limits. We have two income limits. Some of our homes have lower income limits that are at what we say 80% of area median income, and that varies by household size. So I'm going to pull up my income limits so I can give some of those to you. Like for a family of one, the 80% limits are right around $50,000, and then a family of four, it's $71,000. Or $72,000. And then we do have some homes that have higher income limits, so they go up to 115% of area median income. And so, like, for a family of one, that's right around $72,000, and a family of four, it's $103,000. I will say most families don't fall into that higher income limit, but there are some families that do, because everybody's situation is different. But hopefully that answered your question.
And yes, and so, for example, does this particular, I guess, I don't know if I'm using it, it's considered a chapter, Maggie Walker Community Land Trust in the Richmond, Virginia, or the Commonwealth area, if it was in the Northern Virginia area, is there a Maggie Walker Community Land Trust in the Northern Virginia area? And the reason why that question is because I would imagine qualification criteria is different because of the homes are more expensive in those areas, and people make typically a little bit more income.
That's correct. So the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust is only in the Richmond metro area, although we are working with a community land trust that's partnering with Habitat in Northern Virginia. And so there are going to be, I think you will see more community land trusts emerging around the state because, as you know, the real estate prices up in Northern Virginia are just kind of amazing. the criteria would be different there because their income limits are higher, because their incomes in general are higher because of the cost of living. So the area median income is determined by the federal government through HUD, and it's based on sort of regions. And so the Richmond metro region covers the Richmond city as well as counties, I think about two levels out from Richmond. So
what if there was a homeowner and they owned a home and it was not a Maggie Walker home, but they heard this program and they thought that, you know, this is a very, very good program. It sounds like a program that could benefit a lot of people, and they're in the process considering selling their home, and they wanted their home to be a Maggie Walker home. They wanted to, they wanted to sell it to Maggie Walker just for this purpose because they liked the program, they liked the idea, they liked the mission and the vision. Could a person contact Maggie Walker and say, hey, I've got a home, you all might be interested in it, is that an option for a homeowner who wants to just be a blessing to the program?
That is a wonderful question. We've had some conversations, very few conversations with people who are interested in doing that, and so far nothing has quite worked out. But yes, there are ways that would be a possibility, and it's very situational though, and it depends on what the homeowner needs to sell their house for, what they want to sell the house for. But we do buy market rate houses, in certain areas, if we can make the numbers work, if we can put the subsidy in to bring the house up to the standards that we need it to be and still make it affordable compared to the market and for our homeowners. So yes, please, if there's anyone listening who is interested in supporting your program that way, please reach out, and we'd love to have a conversation about it.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, you spoke already a little bit about building equity and how is the opportunity to help to create wealth. Can you talk about that a little bit more, how purchasing a Maggie Walker home? And I know working with my client and some of the things that you mentioned in addition to the orientation and being able to, have the ground lease definitely explained. But everything else appeared to be the same process of, I found the home, I helped my client to find the home, we went through submitting the offer. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well, that part of the process. But after a person has purchased a home, they've gotten a home inspection, and that's been ratified, and now they actually own the home, you mentioned about building equity. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. And we often talk about, for most people, the alternative to owning one of our homes is renting. And so, if someone rents, an example that I use in my presentation about the program is that if you're paying $825 a month in rent, if you pay that every month for 5 years, over 5 years you spend $49,500 in rent, and of course you don't keep any of that. Now, if you were a perfectly disciplined person, you might be able to put some money away into a savings account, but most of us are not that good at doing that. An example that I usually give is we sold a house in the Randolph neighborhood that was it cost about $145,000. It was a smaller house. It was a two-bedroom house. The house appraised for $215,000, but it sold for $145,000. And just paying down your mortgage, even putting like the minimal amount down, which the minimum amount for these loan products is generally 3%. Although that can vary based on, on the value of the home, which we can get into those details if you want. But generally speaking, you can expect to put 3% down, and you can use grant payments, grant assistance for that, or savings. And so even just like paying down your mortgage, which is the first way of earning equity, just paying your mortgage on time, you can save over that same 5 years. Instead of paying $49,500 in rent, you can save up at least over $16,000. That's using higher interest rates than we have right now. So the first way that people say earn equity is by paying their mortgage, and saving up through their mortgage instead of paying rent. And then the other way that they earn equity is by the increase in the value of the home. And that's something I think that's really can confuse people with the community land trust model, because sometimes people will make the assumption that the home doesn't increase in value, but it does increase. It's just the market right now is, as you know, increasing in value depending on the neighborhood, anywhere from 4 to 10% a year, which makes a home rapidly unaffordable for most people because our wages aren't going up at that rate. So instead of going up at 4 to 10% a year, these homes are increasing value at a more modest rate, which is keeping with wages, which is about 2 to 3% a year. That home that was $145,000, if you lived in it for 5 years and it increased, at about even just at a modest rate, you know, it can increase by 10% over those same 5 years. And so you would get that additional, you know, $14,000 in addition to the money that you've put into your paid into your mortgage through your earned equity. And so if you combine what you've paid into your mortgage plus the increase in the value of the home, you know, you're looking at, you know, I just want to make sure I'm getting my numbers. You're looking at $30,000 in equity over those 5 years as opposed to paying someone else, you know, $45,000 in rent. So it is a way to build equity, especially for those of us that are maybe not the most disciplined. You have to pay for your housing, right? So you may as well be paying and having some of that go into a savings account instead of going to someone else's mortgage, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely feel that it's always better to purchase and own your own property to have that opportunity to accumulate wealth. And definitely, that's why I do what I do as far as with, you know, home ownership and helping people to find homes. And it's definitely a part of your mission. Are all of the Maggie Walker homes totally renovated? Because I know that the property that my client purchased, I mean, it was nice. It was totally renovated compared to what we were trying to find within her price range. It definitely was in very good condition and totally renovated. And if there was anything that came up on the home inspection, the contractors came and it fixed it. It was no issues, no problems. So are all of your homes totally renovated like that?
Yes. Some of them are new construction. Some are what we call gut rehab. So they're older homes that have been, you know, taken down to the studs and then totally built out with new insulation, new wiring, new plumbing, new flooring, everything's new. And then we have some what we call modest rehabs, which are still pretty significant rehabs in that we are always looking at one of the things that I think is sometimes hard to do, but because it doesn't always reflect in your appraisal, but one of the things we're really concerned about is the long-term sustainability of the home. And so we make sure that the air conditioning, so the HVAC is up to par at the time of sale, that it's new or very, very recently rehabbed. We make sure that the plumbing is up to snuff and that all of the major systems are good to go. And so it's not just, you know, sometimes I know you've seen this. You walk into a home that someone has put a really beautiful coat of paint on, but then you look and there's the HVAC is old and the plumbing is old and so you know, the affordability piece has to go deeper than the skin, and so that's really important. And again, we're invested in the long term stewardship of the home. So we have to think what's going to happen to this house in 15 years or 20 years, and is it still going to be, you know, livable for a family making a low to moderate income, and how can we support those homeowners through this program?
So when somebody comes and views a Maggie Walker home, everything that they see stays. I mean, everything they see conveys. If they come in, they see the washer, the dryer, you know, the light, the fixtures, everything that they see, that's going to be included. It's like, you know, not like with a, you know, a regular seller selling a home. You have to make sure that this is conveying, the washing machine is conveying, the dishwasher is staying. I mean, with the Maggie Walker home, everything that the prospective buyer sees when they go looking at the home, that's staying.
Yes, when we are the seller, yes. When there is a Maggie Walker Community Land Trust homeowner who is reselling the home, then yes, for the most part. But if they brought in the washer and dryer, then that washer and dryer can be, you know, it's the same sort of conversation. But for the most part, yes, when we are selling the homes, especially for the first time, absolutely everything conveys. Yes.
Right.
That's wonderful. And again, as I mentioned, I've actually experienced this myself as working with a client. And so the process is typically the normal process, but there are just some things that we definitely wanted to mention, or for you to just share with us some of the differences that may be for a person to be aware of. Person work with their own agent, lender, and closing agent?
Yes, they can definitely work with their own agent, especially, you know, when they're purchasing a home. That, yes, we always encourage people to have their own agent because it's really important that they have representation. To get every first-time home buyer needs somebody watching out for them, and so that's really important. The lenders, we do. There are currently only three lenders who will lend for the program, and so that is a bit of a difference in purchasing one of the homes through our program. One of the advantages, I will say, I mean, it is a pain, especially if you've gone through, you know, you've already had your bank and you've already been working with your lender and you've been looking for a home for 6 months, and now you find a Maggie Walker Community Land Trust home. But you can't use your old lender because they won't lend for this home. That is a pain, and it is. I wish we could do something different about that. One of the advantages, though, of having only a few lenders is that we have a great relationship with those lenders, and so we are able to kind of, you know, on the other side of it, again, we talked about, like, preventing foreclosures and whatnot, we are able to kind of be a partner with the homeowner and with the bank to make sure that we were keeping everyone in their homes. And so I think that's one advantage of the limited lender pool. And we also get the quality check that makes sure that the loan products are fair, good loan products that are being used for these homes. So in terms of a closing agent, you can choose your own closing agent. There is a slight financial advantage to using the attorney who closes most of our homes because he's excellent and he knows it's kind of complicated with the ground lease and whatnot. And so he's really he makes sure that everything is. It closes on time and that everything goes according to the way it needs to go. You know, you can choose your own closing agent. There is, if you don't use the closing agent who always does it, there is a slight fee that does go into it because he still has to coach another closing agent through the process. And so that's one of the other caveats. But he's really great to work with, so I can't you know, I don't feel like anybody's getting gypped if they do end up using him for their closing agent.
Okay. Well,
the calls are coming in.
Absolutely. And we want to invite anyone that has a question. You may be listening online, or you can actually call in and ask Nikki any question that you may have. Our call-in number is 515-605-9859, but we do have a special person that would like to share her experience as a Maggie Walker homeowner. And I'm going to call out your last four digits of your telephone number, and we'll bring you on live. It's 4700. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for calling in today. We wanted to bring you on to share your experience. Is it okay that we share your name?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, yes, Ashley. We'll just say Ashley. Ashley, thank you so much for tuning in today and calling in. And we wanted to be able to, if you would please just share your experience as a Maggie Walker homeowner. How long have you owned your home?
It's been a year and 2 months, actually. I've been officially in my house for a year and 2 months. It's a great experience. I actually am absolutely in love with my house. Like, I absolutely love my house. And My experience actually has been very, very smooth and beautiful. I came across this home, I want to say January 1st, 2020, right before the pandemic and everything happened. And I found it, and I realized that it was like the house for me. And then I realized it's a Maggie Walker home, because I was actually looking at other, just how Nikki had explained before, I was working with another lender. And then I found a Maggie Walker home and had to kind of change up. But it kind of worked out in my benefit.
Can you talk about when you first walked in the home and viewed it for the first time? And, I mean, the renovations that they had done and so forth. Because, I mean, you know, a lot of times people say that when you walk into a home for a lady, when she walks into the kitchen and the bathroom, that's what's going to sell the home. Can you talk about what you saw when you walked in? I mean, because I remember Yvette was telling me about when she saw the Maggie Walker home for the first time. She came home and she was like, oh my God, you should see this home. It is awesome. Can you talk about what you saw when you walked in?
So I'm going to be honest with you. I had saw this online first, and I had a doctor's appointment on January 2nd. I said, you know what, I'm just going to drive past the house first and, like, check it out, be a little bit of a creep. And I was like, okay, perfect. So I drove past, and I looked at the house, and I said, oh, this is my house. Like, before I even set my foot in the house, I drove past, like, literally like a creep, and was like, oh, this is my house. And then my realtor, who is actually a close friend of mine, she said, hey, I got a listing for us to see today. There's like 7 people looking at it tomorrow. I said, oh, yes, let's go today. As soon as I stepped on the front porch and opened the front door, I was completely connected.
Wow.
The inside of the house is absolutely breathtaking. It actually was a new build, so they did not renovate it. So I'm actually living in a brand new house.
Wonderful.
Very blessed.
You know, I know, and I can share the experience as far as maybe what you're feeling, because not only did I feel that, my client who also purchased a Maggie Walker home also felt the same way, especially when we were looking for houses kind of in the same price range, and it, in no way did it compare. So I do understand, and I always tell people too, it is, you have to feel it as well. And so, you know, you explaining perfectly, I think our listeners can capture that moment that from, you know, your it sounds like you're still excited.
Yeah. Honestly, because it's just like when you have your own house, it's never-ending work. I didn't realize that. So my mom didn't prepare me for this life. I'll be honest, I was not prepared to realize, like, when you have a house, everything you see, you know, one day you want the wall to be pink, the next day you want the wall to be blue. It's your house, so you have the opportunity to, like, do that and change that. And I am, like, landscaping in the backyard. It's like it's always a new experience here, and I'm just so happy to be home. And in a time like the pandemic where are forced to be home, I'm just so happy that I can be somewhere where I enjoy being.
And, you
like,
know, that's wonderful. So you mentioned something about the landscaping. And you can say hello to Nikki if you like as well. As far as the landscaping, you said that, you know, I guess you're taking pride in just kind of going out there and maybe doing some things in the yard. So I want to also mention that as well, because, again, some people think when you're just renting the land, you're not able to do certain things to the land. And so you've been able to plant flowers or do some things in the landscaping?
So when it comes to – so fun fact, I'm actually on the board of Maggie Walker. So if you have anything when it comes to the land, as long as you are not doing anything that requires basically – it to go to the county and have to be registered to the county and approved by the county, then you can kind of basically be able to do it with the land. So, like, if you have a shed that's like on flats, you can use that, or something that's not going to require a permit, you can definitely add to your land. So planting, putting down some gardening stuff or anything that you feel would make the house look nice, or, you know, that just, you know, definitely resonates with you, you would be able to do. Now, of course, if you have something that, you know, would have to need a permit or have, you know, contracting, You actually can just run it by the board, and we can vote on it to see if it has approval, or we can approve it. So even though technically you are leasing the land, you still have a little bit more flexibility. It's not like you can't do anything and that you have, like, it's not an HOA. That's the best way to say it. It's not a homeowners association. It's more so it's just giving everybody the opportunity to be able to own homes, or some people that, you know, have a harder time owning a home and being able to live in these nicer neighborhoods. So it's like, it, basically you still have the opportunity and flexibility. It's just, you know, a matter of you kind of taking the initiative.
This question either of you can answer. When it comes to a Maggie Walker home, are there inspections that, you know, like periodic inspections where, you know, a representative from Maggie Walker comes out to inspect the property just to make sure that the property is being upkept, or, for example, even like, you know, of course, summertime is coming. Is there, you know, somebody's coming by to make sure the grass is cut, or, you know, anything like that that the listeners would need to know?
Actually, no. So it's not, well, from my experience, it would just basically be a way if there's something that they are, you know, have been notified that something's not going according to what was in your lease or your ground lease that you have, then at that time, you kind of like, under my impression, you're notified, and then, you know, then they'll make the trip out to see if, you know, you're in breach of the lease that you have signed with Maggie Walker. But it's pretty low, honestly, it's pretty easy, so nobody actually just comes and checks up on you. Now, of course, if you invite them to your house, that's a whole different experience.
Of that, the ground lease and the terms and the conditions, and not to violate those terms and conditions, but otherwise everything else is basically, you know, the same.
I mean, I was asking, just let's say, I mean, summer's coming, and there may be people that, you know, like to throw parties or whatever, and they can get kind of loud, and, you know, after hours it might be, you know, neighbors might say, wow, they're still playing music over there, you know. I mean, cause if something like that, would they be warned of that, or is that that would just be something for them, the neighbors, just to contact the whoever they would need to contact to deal with the noise or ordinance or whatever, but that wouldn't be a Maggie Walker issue?
No, because Maggie Walker is not like a HOA. So it's not like they were, you know, a homeowner's association where we would give out a citation or anything. If the neighbors were to have an issue as far as the you know, noise complaints, then they would probably just most likely go to the buyer of the house, because it's not necessarily, that's what I can say it is, it's not necessarily that Maggie Walker is listed on the house. It's not like a, you know, a sign in the yard saying this is a Maggie Walker home. So if there's any issues, it would just be buyer, you know, homeowner to homeowner.
Okay.
Well, Ashley, you know what, thank you so much for sharing your experience, and again, congratulations on your home.
Yeah.
And I know it's been a little while, but, you know, that's great. And, you know, we appreciate you coming on the air and sharing your experience.
That is awesome.
Well,
that's a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Just to be able to have a place, you know, that's home, you know, because wherever you grow up, whether even if you live in an apartment, you know, when we are out, and you can live in an apartment, and when you say, you know, oh, I'm tired, I'm going home, you still might be going back to the apartment, but you're still saying the word home. But when you have a home, and it is a home, and it's not an apartment, and it's yours, and it's a lease, and your name is on it, you know, it's a mortgage, and your name is on it, you know, that has to give you a whole totally different feeling, a feeling of
pride.
Accomplishment, a pride and
yeah.
accomplishment
yeah.
that when you say I'm going
and
home,
it does.
Into a home.
I was going to say, it's just like, you know, Luther Vandross. A house is not a home. So,
that's right.
Absolutely. I love Luther Vandross. So a house is not a home, but when you finally have somewhere where you're living and you kind of feel like, it's almost like you feel whole. You know, there's no
That's
longer
wonderful.
Pieces of you just laying everywhere. You feel whole. So it's a great feeling. I will agree.
Awesome.
Well, again, congratulations.
Congratulations,
and thank you so much. I know you have inspired someone today.
That's right.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You know, I just want to mention even what Ashley was saying, because the young lady that I helped, she had a, or her son is probably, I don't know, well, a couple of years older now, but he might have been about 7 years old or something at that time. And he was aware of everything that his mother was experiencing, and that she wanted him, and a part of her applying for the program, she had to write why she wanted a Maggie Walker home. And she allowed me to read what she shared, and it was so
moving.
It was so, and she said that she was doing all of this for her son. And she actually was, I guess, selected. But, Nikki, you still there?
I'm still here, yes.
That was another fulfilling moment for me, not only her experiencing home ownership for the first time, but also what inspired her and motivated her as far as she wanted a home for her son. And she wanted a nice home, and she – and again, we found it through Maggie Walker. So I know it definitely makes a difference in a person's life, not only being a homeowner, but the kids. You know, this is actually providing an opportunity for the kids to be able to have a home as well, and that feeling of home. Well, Nikki, we have a few more questions for you. Are you ready for some more questions?
Sure. Yes.
And anyone else that wants to ask any questions, Ashley, if you have some questions as well that you might want to come back on, please feel free to also share. But we talked about the affordable, you know, we've been talking about affordable and decent housing and just things that Maggie Walker provides through the Community Land Trust. But there are also other housing agencies that also provide down payment assistance, and some of the banks that you may work with also offer some type of assistance, down payment assistance as well. Can you layer those type of grant programs with the Maggie Walker program?
Yes. Yes, there are a small number that you can't use with it, but for the most part, the funding that's available through organizations like Housing Opportunities Made Equal, Southside Community Development, can be used in conjunction with these homes, yes. And some of the banks also have other down payment assistance.
Okay, because there is, as I always mentioned, there is down payment and there are closing costs. And in this competitive market today, there are situations where even, you know, sometimes we have to, my clients have to be prepared. And a lot of times the down payment and closing cost assistance that they receive from these grants and these additional agencies that help with that down payment and closing costs can make the difference of someone accepting their offer if they don't have to ask the seller to help to pay towards some of the closing costs or down payment. So that's also great to know. So in addition to it being affordable to purchase a Maggie Walker home, you can also take advantage of the additional grant funds that's being offered from some of the other organizations to help with that down payment and closing costs.
Nikki, could you talk for a moment about the importance of people having their, for lack of a better term, their ducks in a row when it comes to having to, you know, applying for different, you know, programs such as this, because they may be asked to submit paperwork. They may be asked to submit, to verify income. They may be asked to, you know, provide bank statements or paycheck stubs or something. And so they'll need to be able to put their hands on certain things, and it's important that they have the, you know, to have their business straight so that when asked on short notice, they can provide that information. Could you talk about the importance of that?
Sure. And yes, our application requires verification of income, which usually means 3 months of pay stubs, 6 months of bank statements and your last two tax returns and 1099s or W-9s for all adult household members. I always tell people when they're going through the application process to go ahead and keep all those documents together, because they're pretty much the same documents you're going to need for your lender and the same documents you're going to need for any down payment assistance through an organization like HOME. In fact, our documents are the exact same documents you would need for Housing Opportunities Made Equal. So, yes, if you can – the paperwork is sometimes the worst part of it all, but if you can just keep it all together, you're going to provide pretty much the same documents for everyone at different phases in the process.
You know, I normally tell people just get a folder, label that folder,
yep,
and just start putting everything in that same folder. You mentioned,
make it a bright colored folder.
Absolutely. Nikki, so can you talk about the actual steps? There is a process, and we talked about it a little earlier before going on air, and as far as applying and the various steps. You have your real estate agent. You may already have already gotten pre-approved working with another lender, but you know, can you actually now talk about the actual steps and to owning a community land trust home?
Sure. One of the first things you can do is come to one of our information sessions. So like I said, we have them about twice a month. The next one is on April 14th. They are all on Zoom, and they're all on the evenings. So that's, you don't have to do that first, but it is a way to kind of really get your head around what the community land trust model is and whether it's the model that you want to pursue or are comfortable with. We have an online application. You can either fill it out as a PDF or you can print it off and do it by hand. And usually people turn in that with all of those other income documents that I mentioned, so your tax returns, your bank statements, and your pay stubs. You also will want to talk to the lenders, and you can find that information on our website as well to get pre-approved. So ideally, in an ideal situation, we like for people to you know, learn about the community land trust program, apply for the community land trust program, and then talk to a lender about the loan process. However, if you do all those things, the only other piece is to get make sure you have your home ownership class under your belt. You can do that through Virginia Housing has a free online course. Everybody's online right now, but Virginia Housing has one that you can take on demand. It is a fun 6 hours, and it's often a requirement for almost any affordable housing program. We also work closely with Housing Opportunities Made Equal, and they do a very similar class that counts for this homeowner education component that they do over the course of two nights online once a month. And so you'll need to get either one of those courses under your belt in order to have a complete, what we call a complete application. So when you have a complete application, it means you are ready to roll on any home that becomes available, and that's when you enter into our waiting pool. And our waiting list they're the group of people that find out about homes that become available first. Like right now, I was telling you about that we have a home that's about to become available in Chesterfield. For $165,000, it is a rehab, and that home is being offered to our waitlist first. And once the waitlist has a chance to look at it, if there's nobody that is able or ready for that or wants a home in Chesterfield at that time, then it will get listed on the MLS, and that's when you're going to see it pop up on like Zillow or your realtor might bring it to your attention. If it does end up getting listed, that's more or less a first come, first serve kind of process then. And that's, you know, that is the way a lot of our homes have sold in the past. And so then you would just put in an offer with your realtor. You do not need to exceed the asking price. There's no advantage to doing that. But if you want one of those homes that you see listed on the website, you want to get your contract in as soon as possible along with all of those income documents in order to be able to have a chance for that home once it gets listed on the MLS.
So once someone applies and they go on a waiting list, do you do any screening at that time to see if the person is actually eligible?
Yeah.
I guess you do at that time. So they will be good to go for if it's a house that pops up within that price range. And is that again, first come, first serve, the person that has been waiting the longest and shows the interest?
That is a really great question. So, yes, when people get onto our wait list, we've already made sure that they're income qualified and that they have a loan from one, that they're qualified for a loan from one of the lenders who can lend for the CLT, and they understand the CLT, and they should be ready to go for a home that becomes available. We have just, like in the last 2 weeks, implemented a new buyer prioritization process. It does give some, you get points for different things. It does give you points for being on the wait list for a certain amount of time, but we also are trying to prioritize within, of course, the bounds of fair housing, people who would need the homes the most. So you do get a point if you are a single parent, if you are, you know, if you come from a lower income household, there are several different prioritization ways you can get points, and that criteria is on our website. But that only comes into play if there are more than one qualified applicant who's interested in a home. So most of the time, it's a one-to-one situation. So we have one person that's qualified and interested in that particular home, and so that's the person that gets to make the offer. So,
what about military people or ex-military people? Would that be a point to have served in the military?
That's a really great question. We have not given a point yet for previous military service. That actually was not something that anyone raised for us, but it certainly should be something we consider. We can't actually use VA loans, cannot be used for MWCLT homes. However, we do work closely with a realtor who does serve a lot of veterans. And she has said before that she thinks the loan products that that are available through the CLT in conjunction with the price point of the CLT and the way the CLT works are very comparable to the VA product that are available. So no, but that's a great question and something we should consider.
Normally, how long does it take? Would you say that the closing process, it takes the average maybe 45 days when you're looking at the grant also that is also applied if a person is applying for grant funds as well?
Yeah, I'd say 45 days is pretty common. I feel like recently it's stretched out longer just because of COVID craziness. But in general, if there are not grants involved, it's 30 to 45 days, and if there are grants involved, then it's I would count on 45 days, yes.
Okay. And there's another question I wanted to find out, and I'm sure the listeners would like to know. How long does a person have to live in the home before they can actually sell it? Something may come up, and now they've had the house maybe for a year, and they might want to move, and not only how long would they have to hold on to the property, would they be able to purchase another CLT home?
Mm-hmm. Those are really great questions. So the CLT doesn't have any requirements on how long you live in a house, so you could sell it at any point. If you get down payment assistance, sometimes those the down payment grants do come with some sort of time period in which if you, you know, if you move before the 5 years, you may have to pay some portion of it back. Some of them don't. So there could be that stipulation if you get grants, but those are not the CLT stipulations. And there are some homes that, because of their funding source, that come with deed restrictions that are not related to the CLT. And those deed restrictions, so far none of them require anyone to live in a house for a certain amount of time. We do have, in the Randolph neighborhood, those homes come with 5-year deed restrictions that require you to sell to somebody making less than 80% of area median income within if you sell within those 5 years. And so that is something that fortunately is doable with the CLT model, and that's something that we help with when there is a seller who is selling within that 5-year period. But you know, we've had people who have sold after, you know, a couple of years for various reasons, new job or moving or, you know, getting married or something like that. That doesn't mean it's in your best financial interest to sell quickly, because you do, you have some sunk cost in homeownership around closing costs and whatnot. But there are no CLT restrictions around how long you can need to live in your house. That's a very long answer to that question.
Thank you. Ashley, I opened your mic back up in case you wanted to jump in, if you had anything that you wanted to add. Thank you so much, both of you, for being our guests today. And we're going a little past the time, so we thank you for the extended time. Yvette, you had another question?
Yes. I know you, this is something that I actually discovered when I went over to the website. You're also starting a home ownership bridge lease to own program?
Yes. That is a pilot program that evolved, I think, out of our, because we do try to get people qualified for the program before there may be even a house available. We were working with applicants who had their income, have been thinking about homeownership for a long time, but they, for various reasons, they were having a hard time getting past that final little bit to get, you know, qualified for a loan. And so when COVID started, we were able to get a grant that allowed us to turn four new homes in Churchill into this pilot lease-to-own program. And I know some people hear lease-to-own and are very skeptical of that, because I know they can have a history of being predatory. The goal of the lease-to-own program is to really help households that are have been working towards homeownership just get that last little bit. So ideally, we are working with a household with a credit score of right around 600. It can be a little higher. It can be a little lower. But, you know, in the 600 range, the goal is to get somebody into homeownership within a year. And so they work during the lease period. They work with a credit counselor, at Commonwealth Catholic Charities. The rent for the home is set at what we would expect the mortgage to be for a house that is $165,000, which is what those homes are selling for. So the rent is $958 a month. And $500 of that rent goes into an escrow account that the home buyer can access when they are ready to purchase the home. So the income limits are lower for that program. It is right at 50% of area median income. And to give you an idea of what that is, for like a family of four, that's right around $45,000 a year. And so that's sort of the target range for a family that might fit this program.
Okay. Well, that is wonderful. Nikki, I've learned
awesome program.
Yes, I've learned a lot I mean, I actually experienced it, but even just going back over it and just, I mean, it's a wonderful program, and I'm glad that we're able to be able to share this information with our listeners. One thing that I definitely I'm taking from this broadcast is to let people know, apply now.
Yes.
So you go over to the website and apply now because so that you can be on that waiting list and get everything in order and so that and attend the orientation, especially I would imagine you're going to go more into detail about the program. And so and you said the next orientation is April 14th?
Yes, that's right. And we are, let me make sure I got that date right. I'm gonna just double check that. Yes, and we are also working, you know, we continue to try to work with Commonwealth Catholic Charities. We are, in about 18 months, we will have some homes, about 10 new homes in the Ettrick community in southern Chesterfield. We are working with the Ettrick community. We're going to start. We have a program on Monday, April 19th in the evening. It's a Zoom program that is just it's focused on kind of getting ready for home ownership. And Commonwealth Catholic Charities is kind of going to be talking about some of the things you need to be considering if you're thinking about home ownership. So even if you're just, you know, the sooner you can start this, it's never too soon to start thinking about home ownership. And the sooner you can get involved in talking to us, the better your chances are of getting into your own home. So.
Wow. This has been a powerful, powerful, very, very informative broadcast. Thank you so much for the extended time. I know that after people hear this, that they're going to want to contact you, contact Maggie Walker. How can they get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
There are a couple ways. You can go to our website, and all of our contact information is on the website, as well as sign-up forms for to find out if you qualify for the lease-to-own program and to get onto our mailing list and register for the upcoming information session. And our website is www.maggiewalkerclt.org, and that's Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, Walker, CLT.org. And so you can find all of our contact information there. You can get to me, the easiest way to get to me is to, my email address is info@mwclt.org, and that will get to my inbox. So I'm happy to talk to anyone who has any questions or is interested in applying.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Everybody, our special guest today has been Nikki Diadamo Damari, and we had an awesome special surprise call in. Ashley called in. She gave her testimony, for lack of a better term,
yes,
of how she purchased the Maggie Walker home and how she loves it. And we encourage everybody out there to definitely give Nikki a call. And remember, if you are a homeowner and you're considering selling your home, and you want to make sure that your home, some people really care about their home, and it matters to them who gets their home. And if you want to make sure that your home is going to a worthy program, a worthy cause, helping people, then get in contact the Maggie Walker program. Give Nikki a call and start the process with that. Any parting words for our listeners today? Nikki?
I wasn't sure if I was the one. No, I just want to thank you, and I love the homeowners and our program. They're an amazing group of people, and thank you to Ashley for spending time with us. Thank you to both for making space for this. I think it's really important, and I'm excited to work with potential homeowners as you explore homeownership in our program. So thank you.
We appreciate what you do, and thank you again. You know, we're happy to know about this program. And definitely, all listeners, if you're not interested, share it with someone else. Again, these programs are available and for you to take advantage of. And so, you know, that's why we're here to bring this information to you.
We don't believe that there are accidents in the universe. You heard this information. If it fell upon your ears, it's either for you or it's for somebody that you know. And if you're listening, and don't try to remember everything that was said. Share the link. You can just share the link. You can copy and paste it. You can put it on Facebook. You can email it to somebody. And the show, again, will be archived approximately 30 minutes after the show has. So you can just share the link, and then somebody that you know, friend, family member that you know would be interested in this information, just share the link with them, and they can get to hear the show from start to finish. So everybody, again, thank you so much for your time. We don't take it for granted. You couldn't be doing something else. But you spent this hour or so with myself and Yvette, and we're just so grateful. Yvette, why don't you give your information?
Thank you so much. Yes, you can contact me. I'm an associate real estate broker with Long & Foster. My office is in Innsbruck. And if you have any additional questions or just want to just need more information even about other programs and things that we're doing, I can be reached at 804-901-2067. That's 804-901-2067. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. We appreciate you. Thank you for your support. And continue to listen.
My name is Juwanza.
And I'm Yvette.
Thank you so much for your time, everybody. Good night.